"What is it, Fandis?" the Major said with an edge of impatience. He had the air of a man who was preoccupied. Fandis recognized that impatience, but he still took a moment to glance at the orderly sitting at his own desk in the outer office. Carnicus followed his eyes. The Major's mouth tightened, obviously irritated at the implication, but then he grimaced and shook his head.
"Give us a minute, Sergeant," he said sharply.
The non-com looked up, then rose quickly.
"Yes, sir."
He managed to keep most of the curiosity out of his eyes as he stepped past Fandis, but some of it leaked out anyway. As did an undeniable flicker of relief as the doors closed behind him, shielding him from whatever had brought Fandis to visit Carnicus. The Major watched the doors close, then looked back at Fandis.
"Well?"
he said brusquely, and the captain drew a deep breath.
"Sir," he said, his voice more than a little troubled, "I've just become aware of something that disturbs me. Something I thought should be drawn to the proper person's attention."
"You have, eh?"
Carnicus's eyes narrowed, and he cocked his head to one side.
"And from the fact that you're standing in my office, should I assume you've decided I'm that proper person, Captain?"
"In a way," Fandis agreed. "At any rate, you're the first one I thought of."
He let his eyes stray briefly to Carnicus's sword and flame Schulerite badge.
"I see."
Carnicus leaned back and crossed his arms.
"Very well, Fandis, tell me about it."
"Sir, I'm the duty officer for the courier service this morning," Fandis began,
"and if you're the courier duty officer, what are you doing here instead of in your office in the annex?"
Carnicus interrupted harshly. He had a reputation as a demanding disciplinarian.
"Sir, I was at my post when I discovered an order that looked odd to me,"
Fandis said, clearly choosing his words with care.
"Given the nature of that order, I felt I had no choice but to hand the duty over to Lieutenant Vernon while I came and reported it to you."
"What sort of order?"
Carnicus obviously doubted Fandis's judgment, which could bode poorly for the captain's future, but he was committed now.
"Sir, it was an order booking passage on the morning iceboat to Lakeview."
Carnicus frowned, and Fandis hurried on.
"The authorization had been logged in last night, and I probably wouldn't have noticed it if I hadn't been catching up on some of my own routine paperwork. But the reason it seemed odd to me was that there was no name listed for the passage. The space was supposed to be reserved, but there was no notation as to who the passengers were going to be. So I checked it against the order book, and there was no name listed for the officer who'd signed in the initial authorization either. Sir, as far as I can tell, the order just appeared, without anyone having officially authorized it."
"What?"
Carnicus's frown had deepened.
"That doesn't make any sense."
"No, sir, that's what I thought too."
Fandis's relief at the Major's reaction was obvious.
"So I did some more checking around. And as nearly as I can tell from the form numbers, the order got inserted into the queue sometime after Langhorne's watch this morning."
"You know how quiet things are then?"
"Yes, yes," Carnicus said,
unfolding his arms to wave one hand impatiently.
"Of course I do. Go on."
"Well, sir, about that time, the night duty officer logged in a long message from one of the vicars. In fact, it was long enough, and apparently important enough, that the vicar sending it personally brought it down to the annex, despite how miserable the weather was."
Fandis shrugged.
"I know the weather is always miserable this time of year, but last night was especially bad. He must have been half-frozen by the time he crossed the colonnade all the way to the annex. And since the message receiving room is usually closed at that time of night, the duty officer had to roust someone out to open it for him."
"Are you suggesting, Captain, that while he was opening the receiving room and logging in this message,
someone was slipping this anonymous iceboat reservation into the queue?"
Carnicus didn't sound as incredulous as he might have, Fandis noticed. Sir, I think that's exactly what happened, the captain admitted. He shook his head, his own expression manifestly unhappy. Major, I know we're not supposed to officially know everything that's going on. And Sir Langhorne knows I don't want to be poking my nose in somewhere it's not supposed to be. But this just doesn't make sense to me, not the way it seems to have happened, and, well, under the circumstances. His voice trailed off, and Carnicus gave him a thin smile. Yet, for all its thinness, there was at least a little approval in it, Fandis thought. I understand, Captain, and I appreciate the delicacy of your situation. But tell me, which vicar had this lengthy message to send at such an ungodly hour? Silence hovered for an instant, as if Fandis realized he stood upon the brink of a precipice, that there could be no going back from this moment. Yet the truth was that he'd known that before he ever opened his mouth the first time, and so he simply squared his shoulders and looked Carnicus square in the eye. It was Vicar Howard, sir, he said softly, and Carnicus's eyes flashed with dark fire. I see. He looked at Fandis for a seemingly endless moment, then nodded sharply, pushed back his chair, and surged to his feet, reaching for his sword belt as he rose. Captain, if I've seemed to doubt your judgment in bringing this to me, I apologize. You did exactly the right thing. Now, come with me.